seated with me is Estelle Thomas. She's an intermediate life support practitioner, BSL lecturer and advanced, a rescue technician at the Western Cape Government Ambulance and Rescue Services. This is in honor of CPR Day. Cardiopulmonary resuscitation, or CPR, is an emergency procedure. It is performed in an effort to preserve intact brain function until further measures are taken to restore spontaneous blood circulation or breathing in the person at the cardiac arrest. Good morning and welcome to RX Radio.
Good morning.
Could you please tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Well, I've been around forever.
Yeah.
And I'm busy doing a community outreach. But can I just introduce you to my colleague?
Yes, definitely.
It's Neil Smith. Neil actually works operational. Lee is a manager for our D shift, which is on duty today. Yeah. So the guys work a few day shifts, then they do night shifts. So he's the shift, he's second in command as a shift manager.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah, he told us that he doesn't want to speak. That was good enough. Yeah, so.
Okay, as I was saying, so we're starting a new community outreach program at EMS, and we want to reach out to the communities in the hope that they can know what to do in an emergency. Because as you know, our service is very stretched. We cannot cope with the amount of people and calls that come in daily. So with the result, if we teach the community what to do in emergency, they could save a life as well.
Definitely. Yeah, and could you please tell us what exactly is a life support practitioner?
Well, this is someone who has chosen to study post-matric and learn skills and methods of what to do in an emergency to save a life. So part of the training is theoretical and then the big part is practical. So we don't do short course training anymore. We used to. Now our training is part of the university. So we have a 2-year diploma course. And then we have a 4-year BTEC degree. It's a national diploma and then the BTEC degree. So once you leave matric, so needless to say, when you're at school, you need to do certain subjects, maths, physics, biology.
Yeah.
And then it's a lot of hard work for the next 2 years or 4 years. And then to carry on to masters, it will be another 2 years. So it's a lot of study, a lot of dedication, a lot of hard work. But also it's the love and passion of the job.
I think
most of us, it's the love and passion.
And what inspired you to go into this medical field?
Well, believe it or not, when I started working many, many moons ago, I worked in retail. So I worked at Woolworths. And I volunteered to be the first aider on our floor. I worked at the Woolworths House in Cape Town. So I was the fire marshal and the first aider. And back then, the department or the organization that was running our first aid, they asked us, would we like to do a voluntary shift on an ambulance? As a third person, of course, I jumped at that.
Yeah.
And then my love grew and I knew what my life was going to be in EMS.
Yeah, that's amazing. Hey, look how everything fell into place. Siraj?
Please tell us more about CPR Day.
Okay. So, you know, I have different holidays that we celebrate in our country. And so CPR is highlighting the skill of saving a life. And it's not only a national day, it's international. And so all over, at the moment, our doctors in the emergency services are busy teaching CPR all over the province today, all over Cape Town. In fact, when I leave here, I'm going to Sea Point Promenade to assist them. They're teaching the public how to do hands-only CPR. We only teach hands-only CPR because that is what needs to happen. The heart needs to beat. And when the heart has stopped working, that is when you're going to do it physically. So you're going to do chest compressions until that heart starts again.
For a listener that doesn't know how to perform CPR, how would you explain it to the
listeners? How would you explain it to the listeners?
Okay, well, the first thing you got to do is identify that the person does need CPR. So you're going to look for signs of life. prior to that, you'll check for any hazards. Hazards will be anything that can harm yourself. So if you're running towards someone in the kitchen who's collapsed and there's water on the floor, you need to make sure that you don't slip in that water. So those are the type of hazards we're talking about. The next thing, you're going to look for signs of life. Anything that will indicate to you whether this person is alive or not. Once you've found that the person is not responding to you, then you're going to phone the ambulance service, which is the number is 10177 for the ambulance control at Tigerberg. Also, you can phone 107, which is a call center at the Civic Center, and they will patch you through to any emergency. Then you've already ascertained that there's no signs of life. You're going to place your hands in the middle of the chest, and you're going to press down, and you're going to push hard and push fast, and you're going to do up to 120 chest compressions only per minute. So it's hard work. You've got to be focused. You've got to count aloud so that anyone else comes up to you. They don't interrupt your CPR. And you will keep doing that until help arrives or until you are physically exhausted.
Wow, it sounds amazing. I think maybe you should come and join us here at RX Radio, and maybe you could teach the presenters how to perform CPR. Like just a workshop with few dummies, that would be nice.
Absolutely, I will definitely do that for you guys so that you can eventually maybe do a little first aid course, and then you can present it to your listeners.
Yeah,
your definitely. Little listeners.
Yeah, and what are some of the safety precautions that you have to take before performing CPR?
Okay, firstly, you need to protect yourself against body fluid. So you need to put your hands in a plastic bag. If you don't have gloves, put your hands in a plastic bag. And the reason we don't do mouth-to-mouth anymore is because there's lots of diseases.
Yeah.
And another thing, it wastes time trying to position the patient's head and trying to breathe in and then check, have I done it properly? So the Resus Council and the American Heart Association, they do research, and they've researched this and realized that it's more important to get the heart beating. So that is why it's easier to teach hands-only CPR, and there have been success rates with hands-only CPR whereby the person, when the paramedics arrive and they actually take over the task of saving this person's life, the patient's heart is in such a state that they can now use the machine, the ECG machine, and shock the patient with a defibrillator.
Yeah.
So there's been some good success rates with that.
Definitely. And other than CPR, is there any other resuscitation techniques that could be used?
Once you've started CPR, and if there's any signs of life after, because you do 30 compressions and you do it 5 times, that estimated in time is about 2 minutes. So every 2 minutes you will stop and check for signs of life. And if there's any sign of life, you will then turn the patient into the recovery position and wait till help arrives.
Wow, it sounds amazing. It's just, I've never come to a situation where I experienced that in front of me. So, I mean, that workshop would really be of some fruitful information. So, Siraj, you told me you have another question.
Eh? Do you? Words of encouragement?
So, for the listeners in the hospital, what words of encouragement do you have just to keep them going?
Well, first of all, life is to be lived. And even if you may be not able to get down on your knees and do CPR, the fact that you can call for help will mean that that person lying there has a chance.
Yes.
Because I understand not everybody is able to get down on their knees for whatever reason and to do physical CPR. And it might be a little child trying to push on an adult's chest, and the adult bones are hard, so he might not have the physical strength. But if you know what to do, so call for help. That is a big help to the person laying there. Get someone, get an adult to come and help you. And even if you can't physically press the chest, you can tell an adult what to do.
Definitely.
And guide him to do CPR so you can use him with his strength and you can be the hero because you've saved the life.
Yes, can be like a supervisor.
Absolutely.
And is there anything else you'd like to share?
In EMS, our service is overrun, but we do a lot of community work, and my main focus is a junior school. So I go to the junior schools during the week, and I go to special events when they have fundraisers and that, and we do the medical standby, and I go out to schools and I teach hands-only CPR to the kids. So yes, you spoke about your little workshop, so maybe I can do that, and the kids that are unable to physically get down and do CPR, we can get one of them to instruct you what to do, so that they also have the little certificate, the knowledge, definitely the knowledge what to do in an emergency.
Thank you so much for your time and the interview. I'm really looking forward to the workshop.